Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and pray that you had a beautiful day at Mass and various church services that you attended on today, and I know that God met you there. I'd like to take this opportunity, take this stage and this podium, to send my condolences and regards out to those of you that have lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, last 24 hours, last 12 hours, 30 minutes ago, even seconds ago. And we do that because we want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement. You have prayer warriors, sojourners, disciples that are praying for you and with you, that God will bring about joy and restoration back unto your heart and soul. So may God richly bless you and yours. Amen. All right. I just want to take this podium once again to thank all of you that continually to make the old ship of Zion a part of your listening program. And for doing so, God has a blessing engraved for you. And I know you might say that, Overseer Ward, you say that quite frequently, but I mean just that. God say he blesses a cheerful giver. Doesn't matter in what category that you give, may it be your time or your talent, but God's guaranteed to bless a cheerful giver. You might say, well, Overseer Ward, God doesn't know my name. He doesn't know my address, but I want to set the record straight. God knows your identity. God knows your DNA. God knows your DOB. God knows your Social Security. God knows your address. God knows your city and state. And God knows your zip code. So God knows every iota thing it is to know about you and your identity. And God will not get it twisted. It will not come back to return to sender. But it will go and accomplish what God has sent it out to do. Hallelujah. All you got to do is just keep on striving and doing what you know to do is right before the eyes of God and before men. Hallelujah. And God will bless you according to his word. For the Bible tells you and I, God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. So we know that God's word stands supreme. God's word is going to stand. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, meaning that the earth will just remove itself from its foundation and going off at the end of the earth before God's word returned back to him void. So just know that God is going to bless you. Whatever area that you blesses others, God is going to bless you as well. All right, I want you to come on in. I thank you for allowing me into your work area. Thank you for allowing me into living room space. I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and the byways with the old ship of Zion on your radio dial / podcast dial. So radio / podcast dial. Hallelujah. And so I want you to get all your digital devices and bring them aboard, because we are in a high technology world and digital is the game. So I want you to just bring all your digital devices, and at your discretion you can follow along with me as I bring the scripture reading during the sermon that I will be presenting unto you on tonight. So I want you to just come on in. I have the chat room available for your seating arrangement and also your listening pleasure. Hallelujah. And once again, your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. Your program and church service is the Old Ship of Zion. Hallelujah. And if you have any prayer petitions at the conclusion of this program, then you are welcome to call in. I will prompt you when the call in and give, an outline of your prayer. And if you just want to remain, silent on the volume of your prayer, then you can do so. That's at your own, discretion. But anyway, that we will be gladly to pray with you and for you, for God to bring about your prayer petition, to bring it to fruition. And so that call into the studio line is 1-646-230-74. That number again is 1-646-230-74. And that is the number to call into the studio. Those of you that desire prayer at the conclusion of this sermon. All right. We're going to go now into our opening prayer. Because every single time that we come across these airways, each time that we approach this podium, we will fail not, hallelujah, to acknowledge our Lord and our Savior, our soon coming Messiah. He will appear one of these old days, all of his glory and his beauty and his omnipotent power. He says, coming out this bridegroom, and that's the church, that's you and I, those that are ready when he cracked those clouds. Hallelujah. Those that have kept their breastplate of righteousness on, living holy. Hallelujah. And so we're going to take you right now into our opening prayer. I'm going to present to some and introduce to others Jesus Christ. As I first stated, he is our God, our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's a native of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. Hallelujah. And Father God, we come with a grateful heart on this evening of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We want to thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us to gather together in unity, God, once again around this spectrum. Father God, for we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on is not our eternal destination. But we know that you have lying in waiting, a home that's not built by mortal man. You are the architect. You are the creator. Hallelujah. And until you crack those clouds one historical day, we will continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on this evening, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Hallelujah, God, able me to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement. Words of wisdom to each and every one that are hurting deep down for whatever reason, hurting in the epitome of their heart and soul. We'll be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and all the praise. These and other prepositions we ask in your Son, Jesus' marvelous name. We will let the cathedral faith of God say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I just thank God once again for allowing me to come across these airways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. And so, without any further ado, we're going to take you into a live program. I will be with you an hour and 18 minutes. We're counting down right now. So I want you just to get your chip and your dip, whatever you want to sip. Get your latte, get your water beverages, whatever you have in your disposal, and bring it aboard. Hallelujah. And so our sermon on tonight entitled, Knocked Off Your Feet. I want to say that one more time. Tonight's sermon entitled, Knocked Off Your Feet. And we will be reading our first key scripture, and it's coming out of the law of Psalms 46 and 1. And it reads like this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That scripture reading once again, you can write it down and later go back and converse with that. The scriptures coming out of the law of Psalms 46 and 1. And so I am reminded of a mother whom had lost her 20-year-old daughter, was told that she died suddenly, and it sent this mother into a reeling mode. She said that she felt like an outcast from the normal outside world. Her remarks was that she felt crushed, and she said that my soul is in so much pain. And you know that is the same as it is with you and I. We're talking about knocked off of your feet. So whatever that you have encountered in your life that has simply been so overwhelming that you was knocked off of your feet, it doesn't mean that you can physically be knocked off of your feet, but you can. But I'm talking about on the spiritual realm of God, being knocked off of your feet, being knocked spiritually unconscious of the thought and of the remarks or the message that you just gotten through a text message, on a telephone, through an email, through a letter, through somebody that related a message. However you got the message, and we're talking about in which hearing that message, what it done to you as a person, as a human being, what kind of mold did it put you in? What did it do to you spiritually? We're talking about knocked off of yours and mine's and our feet at getting the bad news of a doctor report that's saying you have terminal illness. And cancer is the disease. We're talking about your husband dying of a long illness. We're talking about your wife whom died, whom was in good health, always worked out, always eat right, always went to the doctor. We're talking about a son that was athletic, that was in good health, but suddenly died. We're talking about a daughter that has died. Hallelujah. Of no unknown death. Something that will trickle you mentally and physically. And knock you off of your feet is what we're talking about. So this mother said that she was so crushed. She said that her soul was in so much pain. Hallelujah. And we know that indeed that the losses that you and I, that we succumb, that visit you and I and us, can knock us off of our feet. And may it be, hallelujah, death in our family. Death of a child who walked away from God and family. Or even a physical or mental setback. And I know that, hallelujah, I am reminded that when I lost my mother, how it knocked me off of my feet. When I lost my husband, how it knocked me off of my feet. When I lost my sisters, how it knocked me off of my feet. When I lost my brothers, my siblings, how it started a reeling mental effect, just like a deck of cards that would start falling and falling until all the cards in the deck has lapsed. Hallelujah. You know that in this life difficulties, remember that God is our refuge. Hallelujah. And God is yours and mine and our strength. The word tells us that he's a very present help in a time of trouble. And that was our key scripture on tonight, coming out of the law of Psalms 46 and 1. And you know that that's reason enough to get back up again. Hallelujah. We know that trouble will always succumb you and I. As long as we're on planet Earth, we will encounter some news that will knock us off of our feet. May it be the loss of your grandparents that you love so well. May it be the loss of an uncle or auntie. Could be a loss of a dear friend or business partner. May it be the loss of your health provider. But whatever your loss might have been, I'm here to encourage your heart on tonight. I'm here to let you know that God is able to see us through. Whatever trial or tribulation you and I might encounter, we might experience down here on this planet Earth, I want you to know that God is a present help in a time of our trouble, of our brokenness. Hallelujah. When we don't know what to do, we don't know where to turn, we don't know who to turn to, we don't have anybody to call. We can't call on Mr. Jones. We can't call on Miss Jones. We can't call on that lover Tyrone. But we can call on Jesus. Jesus will hear our humble cry. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that God understands it all. Hallelujah. When trouble knocks you and I down, we can look up because we know God is there and he understands. And not only does he understand, but he cares. We know it's not easy, but we can trust him to keep it and to get us back on our feet again. So you are encouraged to lift up your eyes, despairing one. The Lord your help will be. You have a friend in heaven who cheers and calms the troubling sea. We know that there is no place where earth and sorrow are felt more than in heaven. I want you to be encouraged on tonight. And just in a few days, I will be encountering the memorial of my dear mother's homegoing. And it was, never will forget it, on the 24th of December. On that dreadful night, Friday night, I never will forget it. Friday night. coming on in the Saturday morning. We was awakened by telephone with the disturbing news that our dear mother had just lost her battle with carcinoma cancer. And I'll tell you what, when the doctor had diagnosed her terminal illness and told her that she had less than a year to live, I tell you, she took it like a trooper. She took it like a soldier. She took it like anyone I have ever seen in my life. I mean, she didn't grumble. She didn't weep. She didn't cry. And I, today, I can't fathom if I could do the same. I don't think so. I don't think I could. Being told that disturbing news that you have terminal cancer and that you have a year to live, and my mother only lived 6 months. She didn't even live the year that the doctor had diagnosis. And so we know that the doctor is just doing what he went to school to do, and that is to diagnose. But we know that we have a great physician, that his diagnosis never come back void, it never come back untrue. But God say he's a great physician. God tell us that he's a healer. And in spite of that pink slip, yellow slip, white slip, whatever color slip it is that the doctor had handed you, I'm encouraging you to stand on the word of God. God said, by my 39 stripes, you are healed. Not that you're going to be healed, not a possibility that you will be healed, but that you are healed. God took 39 stripes, 39 lashes across his back for yours and mine and our healing. So you can say, yeah, doctor, I hear you. Yeah, I might have cancer, but the cancer do not have me. Because I know a man named Jesus that went out on Calvary Mountain over 2,000 light years ago, that died on Calvary Cross for yours and mine and our sins and for our healing, for our restoration. God said that he would want you and I to be in health and to prosper, even as our soul prosper. So God do not want you and I to be sick, to be lame, where we cannot do for ourselves. And I know some of us have loved ones that has to be, you know, assisted. So we have loved ones that are bedridden. We have some that cannot see. We have some that cannot hear. We have some family members that can't even utter a word. But I'm here to tell you on this day that God took 39 stripes, crossed his back for yours and mine and our healing. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. So we're going to go to our second key scripture, and it reads this. It says that God comfort you and I and us in all of our tribulations. God does not comfort you and I in some of our tribulations, in part of our tribulations, in just a little of our tribulations, in just a portion of our tribulations. But God comfort you and I and us in all, A-L-L, of our tribulations and our trials, that we might be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. And that scripture reading, my sister and my brother, is coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 1:4. And so we can take Paul's words. He said that the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. Paul said that God comforts you and I us in all of our tribulations, that you and I us might be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. So that means that if God comforts you and I us, we might be able to comfort others that are experiencing the same thing that you and I have just encountered. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we know that God touches our broken hearts with his peace. And then we are uniquely equipped to share that with others. You know, that's a wonderful gift to give and receive as Christians. Hallelujah. We know that the comfort God has given you and I and us, he wants you and I and us to share with others who are suffering and are caught in this life despair. We know that God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. God wants you and I to be comforters, to share in each other greatness and our triumph, than to share in each other loss and despair. When I cry, you cry. When you cry, I cry. When you hurt, I hurt. That's what God is talking about. Comforting one another. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And our third key scripture read this. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. We're told that Jesus wept in the law of John 11 and 33 through 35. We find out when Jesus saw Mary and Martha and their friend weeping over the death of Lazarus, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Hallelujah. Because we know that Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters, even though he knew that he would soon be raising Lazarus from the dead. He wept with them also. Hallelujah. And we know that Jesus' weeping may also have been over the death itself, and the pain and sadness that it caused in people's heart. We know that loss is a part of life. But because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, those who believe in him, hallelujah, will one day experience an end of all death and sorrow. But in the meantime, Jesus weeps when you and I us over our losses, and asked us to weep with those who weep. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Romans 12 and 15. And if you're not sympathetic with others whom encounter trials and tribulations, I would suggest you pray this prayer. God, give me a heart of sympathetic and tender. Jesus lacks just like thine. Jesus, like thine, touched by the needs that are surging around me and filled with compassion divine. We know that compassion helped you and I and us to heal the hurt of others. So God said that you and I are to encourage one another to be compassionate, to show love, and to weep with others whom are weeping. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. And so our fourth key scripture says that this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Lamentation 3 and 21. And we know that sometimes we want to keep I hurt to ourselves. We're going to keep the loss of a loved one from a dear friend, a business colleague, a health provider, someone that is nearest and dear unto our heart and our soul. But we find out that bearing our feelings doesn't help. But I tell you one thing that does, and that is being prayerful. We know that prayerful grieving, as Jeremiah would say, his heart was broken by Israel's disobedience and the Babylonian captivity, hallelujah, that followed. Memories even of Jerusalem destruction haunted him. The Law of Lamentation 1 through 2. Yet he had learned how to lament. He identified what caused him grief. He began to pray and let his tears flow. Sometimes you and I just have to let our tears flow. Sometimes we have to cry. There's an old song says that I don't know why I have to cry sometimes. I don't know why I have to sigh sometimes. But the hymn writer goes on to say, I don't know why I have to cry sometimes. But I find out by and by. And we know that when this life is over, we have another life. And that life, my sister and my brother, we can either live eternity with Christ or separation eternity in hell of fire and brimstone. But when we that choose to live the life of Christ and to live holy, life that acceptable and pleasing unto God, then we will encounter a life where there will be no more crying. We will have cried our last cry. The Bible tells us that Jesus is not going to send Martha. Jesus is not going to send Lazarus. Jesus is not going to send John. Jesus is not going to send Paul. Jesus is not going to send Peter. Jesus is not going to send Noah. But Jesus himself will wipe all the tears from yours and mine and our eyes for the last time. Because you see, in heaven, the Bible says there will be no more weeping and crying. Every day will be Sunday. Every day will be howdy howdy and never goodbye. Hallelujah. So we know that death will be swallowed up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless his holy name. So it says that soon his focus shift from his eyes, from his loss, to the steadfast grace of the Lord's provision. We know through the Lord's mercy, you and I and us, we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. And we know that great is your faithfulness. We know that grief gave way to thankfulness. Learning to lament can give you and I a fresh vision of hope and to begin the process of healing and restoration. I have been through the valley of weeping, the valley of sorrow and pain, but the God of all comfort was with me, you and I and us, at hand to uphold and sustain. We know that grief is itself a medicine. So it's good to cry sometimes, even though it hurts when it's someone that we love so dear. We ask God many times, why, God, why did you take my mother? Why did you take my father? Why did you take my grandparents? Why did you take my husband, my wife? Why did you take my son, my daughter? Why did you take my newborn baby? Why did you take my best friend? Why did you take my cousin? Why did you take my health care provider? Why did you take my doctor that I love so well, that doctored on me for 20 years? Why did you take him? Why? We ask God these questions. Hallelujah. Why, God? But God has his own reason for doing what he does. And God does. He said, I am God. and I do as I please. Not saying that we can't question God. We can question God. But it is a way in which to question God. We cannot go to God in an unruly way, dismantle, disrespectful way and mannerism. But we must have bedside manners when we're approaching a powerful God that holds yours and mine and our life in his very hand, just like a light switch. God said we are just a vapor. When you go into a room of your house, you flip the light on for light. You flip it on to have darkness. May it be if you're controlling it by your iPhone, smartphone, remote control, however you are controlling it, it goes off to bring about darkness, on to bring about light. So we know that we do not come to God in a disorderly manner, but we come to God in a godly way and to acknowledge and respectful and reverence God as being God Almighty. And if God wants to display what and why and how, then he will do so. And if not, then he won't. Because we know that whatever God do, that it might not feel right, might not sound right, might not make sense to you and I and us. But God will get the glory in the end. It will be for his glory and for his honor. And most of the time, 99,100,000% of the time, that when God takes a loved one, it said, you know, teach one, reach one. So in order to reach somebody, God has got to take somebody. In order to reach that loved one, maybe in order to reach you to Christ, he had to take your husband, he had to take your wife, had to take your mother, your father, your grandparents, your aunt and your uncle, your friend, your cousin, your son or your daughter, that newborn child, that newborn niece, that newborn nephew. God has his own reason for doing what only God can do, because he has the power over death, hell, and the grave. We're talking about knock off of our feet on this evening. When you have been hit with the devastation that you have lost a loved one that was near and dear to your heart and your soul, you don't know how you're going to make it. You don't know how you're going to take it. But I'm here to encourage you that God will sustain you. Hallelujah. God will sustain you and add us. Hallelujah, Jesus. God tell us. He said, I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. So we know whatever we encounter on this earthly life, in this earthly journey, we do not travel it alone. For we travel with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is our shield and buckler. He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Hallelujah. In a time of a storm, God is our present help. He said that he is our refuge and our strength. In a very present help in trouble. That scripture reading is coming once again out of the law of Psalm 46:1. We're about to wrap it up. We're going to come to our last reading. And we're talking about, once again, knocked off of your feet. And the Bible says that though, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So when you and I is knocked to our knees, the Bible tells us that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. We know that yours and mine's and our strength, it is limited at best. It adequate for the trying situation of life. Hallelujah. So when you get to the end of your rope, one individual said to tie a knot and hang on. But we may hang on for a time, but soon the last ounce of energy is expended. And you and I and us, we will have to let go. But the story is that there was a soldier who, while was on night patrol, fell off a cliff. And as he went down, he managed to grasp a small scrub. A voice out of the darkness told him to turn loose, but he refused. But the voice insisted that he would be safe if he only would just let go. Finally, he did so, only to find that he dropped to a large ledge that was just a couple of feet below. So we know that when we're like the desperate soldier, we know that God is like the rock ledge underneath. We will only experience the strength of God when you and I let go to our control and lean on Him. As we grow older, we are confident with limitation and illness. We can be confident to know that whatever you and I and us, whatever, hallelujah, trials we experience, we know that God's strength will carry you and I and us through. So we can pray this prayer, Lord, when burdens remain and hardship are heavy, we thank you for your grace, which is sufficient for all of our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. In ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something, hallelujah, to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions you want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence. God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been produced by Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondent, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. You can also log on to our web address, www.janicewardministries.org. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now turn you over to Hymns of Zion. Uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. Till we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. We're going to now turn you over to our second part of our program, Hymns of Zion. If you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to call in to the studio. That number again is 646-230-74. Up now, Hymns of Zion. Thank you.
her Christian commitment to carry the gospel to every creature is unquestionable. And you know, we all have our favorite songs of praise and celebration. I don't know what yours may be. It may be, I love the Lord, he heard my cry and pitied my every groan. Long as I live while trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. Your song might be, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, where shall I go? It may be deep in heaven as I go through this wilderness. Hear me, Lord. Why don't you guide my feet in peaceful ways? Turn my midnight. Oh, Lord. Yeah, Lord. I don't know what your song may be, but my song is this. If when you give the best of your heart,
Jesus, Which art in heaven. As we grew up in our tradition, and it was dark, the Lord was our light and our salvation. The Lord was the strength of our lives. We thank God for Jesus. We even thank God for evil. He helped us to appreciate just how good it was. We learned to say, we are grateful. In the earliest of our existence, even to right now, we are grateful. We learn our lessons in the wilderness. We are grateful. We can look back on slavery, and we can close our eyes and wonder how they got over. We are grateful. We've been down in the grave, but He conquered the grave. And we are grateful. We've been crucified, but the stone has been rolled away, and it's Easter morning, and we are grateful for all this talent that God has given us and a chance to glorify His name. We are grateful. We serve a God tonight that's so great and so big and so wonderful. And once you know God, everything is little. No mountain is too high, no valley too low, no water too wet, no winter too cold. We serve a mighty God. So our heads are high, our chests are out, and joy bells are ringing our souls, and we're glad about it. One of the great joys of our lives, Sister Mavis Staple. Let's hear it. Sister Mavis Staple.
Sister Mavis. Mavis and I grew up as teenagers, traveling with our family. She and the Staple Singers, and myself, and my dad, and Lucy Branch, and Sammy Bryant. And we met on a Mississippi road one evening. Yeah. And we're going back to our roots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shona.
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 Yeah.
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 I'm going to call back to the microphone at this time, Irma, Brenda, and Carolyn. Let us say amen as they come.
Amen.